Thanks for joining us for another great message from Influences Church Australia. We hope it inspires you, encourages you, blesses you, and brings you joy. For more information about our church, go online to influences.church. And now for our message.
I'm going to preach a word about excuses. So, a year ago, right, I was at our staff retreat and we were playing a game of basketball. Our staff is a little competitive and Josh isn't the only one that's good at basketball. I played basketball before Josh. I'm no Chelsea, but I gave it a go. Anyway, we were playing a game and I was literally just taking off and I went to take off and my Achilles completely snapped. Now, yeah, this happened a year ago. Now, I didn't know that had happened at the time, but there was someone standing behind me. It was our videographer. Where are you, Jay? Bless Jay. I can't even see him. Yes, Jay. Poor Jay was standing behind me because what it felt like, when you snap your Achilles, it feels like someone's shot you in the leg or like just someone's gone up and go, ugh, in your like leg. So I turn around to Jay. I'm like, oh, Jay, you just hurt me. Holding my leg. I felt like the floor was falling out beneath me. And he's like, I didn't touch you. I didn't do it. I'm like, Jay hurt me. Anyway, so I went off and started to ice it. And I said, I'll be all right, you know. We kept on going with staff retreat and we actually finished staff retreat. We had our sessions. I just, wobbled around the whole time in a lot of pain. And it wasn't until the next day that I went to the doctors and he referred me to get an ultrasound. And they said, you've completely torn your Achilles. You need surgery. So I was like, okay, Josh, I need to have surgery. So, well, you're preaching Sunday, so you need to do that first and then go and have surgery. So I preached up here with a snapped Achilles. Thank you, Josh. And then I had to have surgery, right? But that was a long-winded way of saying this whole story. So I had to have surgery. 2 weeks after my surgery, my surgeon said to me, okay, Shana, because I was wobbling like around on crutches just to get to the toilet and back. And I was in a lot of pain. I mean, a lot of pain. It's very, very painful. And I remember him saying, okay, now, Shana, you need to take a step. You need to put some weight on your foot and take a step. And I said, no, I can't do that. I'm in so much agony. I can't do it. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to take a step. He's like, no, you actually need to. You have to push through a little bit of pain and take a step. And I was trying to tell him, I'm 2 weeks since surgery. I don't think I'm ready to do that. But he said, take a step. You need to put some weight on it or you're going to delay your healing process. And, you know, I think back to that example, and I think it's a really great example of where we are right now. I think we've come out of COVID and we've heard some amazing messages lately about moving forward. And this is one of those process messages on how to move forward. Because sometimes you have to take a step, even though it hurts, even though you don't feel ready for it, to move forward. So I hope this message helps you take a step in some way, shape or form. I think God is wanting us to move past our excuses, past fear. Pastor Alice preached about that last Sunday night, past comfortability, past all those things, to step into what God has for us as a church family. And I think it's hard sometimes to do it because we get comfortable or we're scared it's going to hurt. Like, I'm not ready to take a step because it's going to hurt me. We get a bit fearful of that. And I sat and I asked God, I said, why do I find it hard physically, like in my personal life, but also my faith life, to take a step sometimes? Why do I find it hard to move forward sometimes? And the Holy Spirit reminded me of something I say all the time. Well, not all the time. I don't say it all the time anymore, but I used to. But I do think we say it a lot. And it's that I'm not ready. We say it and we don't even realize we're saying it. I'm not ready. I'm not ready to move. I'm not ready to take a step. I'm not ready. So let me pray and then I'm going to get into it. Father, I just thank you for your church. I thank you for this moment that we are gathered here to hear your word. I pray this will be a moving forward word for somebody in here tonight to encourage them to take a step towards what you have for them. A freedom word in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm not ready. We girls say that a lot. Guys, you would hear us say that a lot. Guys have this ability to literally have a 1-minute shower, chuck on a tee, a hat, and they're ready to walk out the door. Us girls are very different to that, as you know. We take a lot longer. You know, Josh can even go, Shana, come on, we're going to go. I'll be like, babe, I'm not ready. I need 5 more minutes. I need a little bit longer. And then we can actually doubt our readiness all through the day, us girls. We say it a lot. And most of the time, I think, for things in life, we never feel 100% ready. Whether it be for an exam, you never feel like you've learned enough or ready for a race or ready for anything, a job, a baby, a marriage, a business, taking a step, even just talking to somebody about God with, oh, is this the right time? I don't know, I don't feel ready to do it. We never feel 100% ready to do anything. And often we will wait for perfect conditions, like we're financially ready or we're emotionally ready to even take a step. But here is the truth. Ready, this idea of ready, is actually an impossible place to reach. There's always a gap between where we are and ready. Ready is like over here, and we think we're going to get there, but we never ever do. And it's in the gap between where we are and ready that we get stuck. We wander around, we detour, we're like the Israelites, no, we'll go back here over to slavery because we feel comfortable. It's really hard to move forward sometimes. We want to run back, we wander around, and we're not sure how to move. Throughout the Bible, God is always asking people to take steps of faith, whether it be to get up and walk or, you know, pick up your mat or, you know, bring me something and I'll do something with it. Bring me the 5 loaves and fish. Bring me the water and I'll do a miracle. God always asks us to step. Throw your nets on the other side. The real truth is we use excuses to cover up for us not feeling ready. I don't feel ready, so I'll use a few excuses, and that's what I want to speak into tonight. Excuses. So we can move forward as a family of God into all that God has for us. I'm so excited for what God is doing. We're really good at making excuses, and I can't even begin to explain the number of times I've said to Josh, I'm not ready because dot, dot, dot. Because you haven't given me enough time. Because I don't feel like I'm ready to lift that weight because I haven't trained enough. Because dot, dot, dot. I just don't want to do it or whatever else. It's a natural reaction to things that are daunting to us and that often we actually need to step into because they're good for us. So this is what I've learned for after following Jesus for 38 years of my life, that nobody is complete. Sorry to burst that bubble in case you thought you were, you know, perfect. No one is complete. We're not perfect. And we are on a journey. We are in progress, working towards moving forward into all that God has for us to be. But that to grow, I need to step out in life, even if I don't feel completely ready. So maybe you don't feel completely ready to do something that God's asking you to do, or maybe it feels a bit daunting. It's okay. I want to encourage you tonight. It's okay. You don't have to be ready. You don't have to be there. You just have to take a step. Like I did, I take a step, even if it hurts. Excuses stop us moving forward, but it's time to move forward. So I wanted to talk to you tonight about Moses, because Moses made a lot of great excuses. And I want to walk you through Moses' 5 excuses that he made that were very logical, that I often make, and I think they're far too common for us to want to admit that we actually make them as well. He can totally relate to the, I'm not ready to do that, God. That Moses understands that. In fact, God appears to Moses in a burning bush and asks him to go before Pharaoh to free his people. And Moses is like, nah, I can't do that. I'm not ready to do that. And so I want to walk you through each of these excuses because they may be like a little bit close to home, but hopefully it helps you identify, hang on a minute, I do that too. Okay, I'm going to try and change that so that I can move forward. Because when Moses addressed his excuses, he freed a nation. And I want to encourage you that maybe we've been sitting in excuses, wandering around in this gap. But once we address our excuses, we can move forward and find freedom for us, but also for other people. So his first excuse, we're going to walk through Exodus 3 and 4. Okay, so he appears to him in the burning bush, and Moses is standing there, and God says, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out from Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" Who am I to go? First excuse. Who am I? It's a belief about himself. I'm not good enough to do that. It's an identity issue. An identity issue. He didn't feel up to it or adequate to do what God was asking him to do. And so he'd messed it up before. He tried to rescue someone and it didn't go so well. So now he's like, I can't do that. Who am I? There's so many times I've said that to God, and I bet you have as well, that God could use someone else instead of you. That kind of thinking will paralyze you in this place and stop you moving forward. Nah, God, who am I? I'm not good enough. I can't do that. It's an identity issue. We need to actually remember who we are, that we are children of God. We are heirs of the Father, and who is with us? In fact, God's answer to this identity issue is, listen to this in verse 12, and God said, I will be with you. If you're struggling with an identity issue and feeling like, who am I to do this job? Who am I to do this role that you've given to me, or the position you've put me in, or whatever it is? It's okay, because God's answer to your excuse is, I will be with you. I will be with you. And maybe that's something you need to constantly say to yourself. Oh, who am I? But God, he's with me. I am not alone. First excuse, who am I? And God's answer, I will be with you. Second, all right, Exodus 3:13. Moses says to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what do I tell them? I love Moses because he's like literally laying it all out for God. Like, I don't know what to say. What am I meant to say? I don't know enough is what Moses is saying. I'm inadequate. I don't think I can do this job because I don't know how to answer them. It's inadequacy. Who's been there? Sometimes inadequacy makes you think way too far ahead. Like you haven't even taken the step and you're already thinking, hang on a minute, what they're going to say to you down there. And we feel unqualified and we give up before we even begin. And we don't know how to move past that. Moses was afraid that he wouldn't know how to answer the Israelites. I felt like that before. Not sure how to answer God. What do I say? But don't worry about having to have all the answers, because God gives you an answer. Whenever you say, I'm not good enough, or I'm not smart enough, or I'm not capable enough, this is what God says. He answers Moses, I am who I am. This is what you were to tell them. I am has sent me to you. When you feel incapable, when you feel like you're not up to it, it's okay. Because I am. He is with you. He's there. He's the beginning and the end. He can help you through every situation. He's like, I am. I'm good enough. Even though you don't feel like I am. That's good news for us. Second excuse. Who am I? They're not even going to listen to me. Inadequacy. God says, I am enough. I am enough. I'm with you. Excuse number three. You still with me? Moses answers him, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say the Lord did not appear to you? What if, I'm thinking so far down the track again, what if people don't take me seriously? It's actually a fear issue. I'm scared to step out. Fear. And I love this part of the Bible because God addresses his fear. He doesn't minimize it, but he addresses it. Anytime we're afraid of something, we always imagine the worst case scenario. I mean, even Alice preached last week about these stupid magpies. So she's imagining the worst case scenario running down this stupid street, but it was the worst case scenario. It probably wouldn't have happened, but we go down that path because that's what fear does to us. What if this? What if that? And we think of every possible excuse so that we don't have to step forward or put weight on our feet. This week, we were at a beautiful friend's house playing a game of Trouble. Yeah, and we were playing, and I was playing with Deirdre. Deirdre and I were a team, and Jackson and Josh were playing as a team. And we were at the end of the game, right? And I found this moment in my life very hard. I was really indecisive. I was a bit too scared to make a decision on what to do because at this moment we were winning and I rolled this number that would mean I'd have to kick Jackson out. He'd have to go out. And as a mum, I didn't want to beat him. I wanted him to win. It was a real like issue, right? So I was in this spot. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Do I take the win and I knock him out and send him home, or do I let him win and sit? And I sat indecisive for so long because I was scared for him. But sometimes we do that. We'll sit still for so long because we're a little indecisive. We don't want to put anybody out. We don't want to do that. But it's not good for us. Anyway, I did do it. We won the game, Deirdre and I. But I did show mercy a couple of times before. Don't worry. So funny. So we always think, what if I fail? What if I mess up? What if they laugh at me? What if this? We're as scared of what it might be. And we waste a lot of mental time and energy worrying about things that haven't even happened. What is God's answer to his question, his fear? He says, then the Lord says to him, what is in your hand? A staff, he replied. Then the Lord said, throw it on the ground. He threw it on the ground and it became a snake and he ran from it. He gets his staff, he throws it on the ground and he runs from it. I love what God did here. He's addressing his fear. He's like, you know what? You need to know, I need to show you a sign number one that I'm way more powerful than you. So I'm going to do a miracle right in front of your eyes with something so small in your hand. I love that about God. But it wasn't only that. He threw it on the ground and became a snake, and Moses runs from it, scared. Scared anyway, and then he's running from this stick that became a snake. And then God says to him, pick it up by the tail. Yeah, wow. Sometimes the very thing we are running from is the very thing that God is asking us to pick up. No, I want to stay on my crutches and not take a step. No, but we're running in fear. We actually need to take it, pick it up. That's what God's asking us to do. He's addressing his fear. What is in your hand? God's answer to your fear is what is in your hand. It might be insignificant, but it's okay. Don't run from it. And like Josh preached this morning, it's a weapon. Our hands are powerful. They have authority. We need to use that. All right, so identity issues, inadequacy, fear, they will all stop you moving forward. Excuse number four, we're still going. You'd think, you know, God's giving him an answer and a provision every single time, but he's still going. So Moses says to the Lord, pardon your servant, Lord. I've never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I'm slow of speech and tongue. Excuse me, God, but I'm not very good at public speaking. I'm no good with words. Insecurity. Insecurity. God's addressing the insecurity because that will stop you moving forward. We defeat ourselves in our mind before we even begin sometimes. Maybe you do that at work, insecurity. So you defeat yourself and you stay where you are because of insecurity. Moses had legitimate reasons for why this would be difficult for him because he actually found it really hard to speak. God was basically asking him to do something he wasn't good at. That's hard. I don't know who you think I am, God, but you've picked the wrong person. I can't even talk. God will often ask us to do things that we're not good at because it actually allows his power to rest on us, for him to be able to shine through us. And then people go, wow, that isn't you, can't be you. But God's power rests on our weakness. God's answer to insecurity, if that is stopping you moving forward, is this. God says, who gave human beings their mouths? Who created you? You didn't create you. You think you know you better than I know you, but I created you. I created your mouth. I can do a miracle through your mouth. Moses is standing there trying to convince God that he knows himself better. But no, God says, you didn't create you. I created you. So whenever you feel insecure, I want you to remember that word. You know what? Who gave you your mouth? Who gave you what you're in? Who gave you your job? Who gave you that position? Who gave you that person? And allow God's power to rest on your insecurity. God loves taking things and making amazing things out of weak things. I created you. And his last, final excuse. You're still with me. But Moses says, pardon your servant, Lord. Please send someone else. I've tried, I've given you all these excuses, but in the end, please send someone else. Pardon your servant. It is a heart issue, an unwillingness issue. I can't do it. Now, God, I tried to convince you with all of my other excuses. I'm going to come out and say I can't do it. This is the part in our journey that we actually sabotage ourselves and hinder God's work in our life because we're afraid of failing before we even start. For every excuse that Moses made, God had an answer. God had an answer for him. But running out of excuses, Moses gets to a point that reveals the real issue is that he didn't want to do it. He wanted somebody else to do it. And God is so kind. He wanted it to be Moses. But he goes, you know what? I'm going to send Aaron and he can talk and you will talk through him as if you were God to him, to the people. God still has an answer. But the issue is our unwillingness to actually do it. Because when we feel scared, insecure or inadequate, we go, no thanks, I'm not stepping forward. But do you know what? There's so much freedom when you actually do. Freedom not only for you, but for other people. Because God had to address Moses' excuses before he was able to get to a place to make a way in the Red Sea for the Israelites to cross. What are your excuses? Because they will tell you a lot about what you believe. What are the things you say often? And you know what the amazing thing is? God isn't shocked by your excuses. He knows them. In fact, he has an answer for them. And I've highlighted them, and maybe some of them you need to speak over your excuses this week. We all have weaknesses. Moses had them. I've got them. You've got them. If you don't think you've got them, then you're probably a little deceived about yourself. It's true. But when we allow God's power to rest on us, he does miracles and wonders and signs. He wants us to say yes to move forward because he knows what's on the other side of freedom. Moses went on to free a nation and make a way where there was no way, but he had to address the excuses first. So to move forward, for each of us to move forward, we need to address our excuses. So how do you move forward? 2 points that I want to leave with you. Number one, you've got to identify your excuses. Maybe some of them that I've said are your excuses, or maybe you've got your own that you've created for yourself to keep yourself safe. Is it an identity thing, or is it an inadequacy thing, or is it a fear thing, or is it an insecurity thing, or is it just a downright, no, I don't want to do it? Address them and speak over them. No one's going to speak over it for you. You need to speak over it. It might be, you don't, who am I? I talk to yourself, speak over it. I am a child of God. That is who I am. Even if I don't feel like that, I'm going to speak that over me till my soul believes it. Maybe it's fear. You need to speak out. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. We got to speak over the excuses and beliefs. And number two, take a step. I'm not saying take a leap or take like 10 steps all at once because you'll get freaked out and you'll run right back. But take a step. Don't wait for perfect conditions or perfect circumstances or perfect weather or perfect responses. The way you get past something you don't want to do is to do it. I can walk past washing and like go, the only way it gets done is if I put it in the washing machine. I just have to put it in. Do something. Take a step. What is a step that you could take past your excuses? Maybe it's addressing some of these excuses. Maybe it's in your marriage you need to say sorry. Maybe it's admitting you were wrong to somebody. Maybe it's not making excuses. Maybe it's saying yes to serving on a team or leading. Or maybe it's coming to a place of agreement with a friend. Maybe it's being generous to somebody. Maybe it's actually starting to tithe. Maybe it's stepping out and forgiving somebody. Maybe it's eating healthier or something like that. Maybe it's fasting. Maybe a step you could take is to fast and pray. Maybe it's choosing not to gossip at work tomorrow. Maybe it's choosing, if you're a negative person and you constantly see the negative things, to speak life and positivity and speak and be have gratitude. Make a gratitude jar and put things in it you're thankful for. Maybe it's blessing that person that God keeps putting on your heart. Maybe it's changing an attitude. Maybe it's choosing not to watch that show or go to that place or be that person. What is your step? We all can take a step. If you don't think you can take a step, then we're deceiving ourselves. But there's freedom for us, and there's freedom for other people when we move forward. It's for our good. When Josh told me after BU that I had to preach in 2 weeks, I'm like, no, I'm not ready. I need more time. I need more time. It's big for me, guys. But I wasn't ready until I got ready. And I didn't have a message until I went to God. And I didn't have my word until I asked him what to do. And I didn't even have anything until I started. Taking a step, it's so simple but utterly powerful. Take a step. What is God speaking to you about? Maybe it's a painful step. Maybe you don't want to do it because you want to stay on your crutches and go, I don't want to do that one. Do it. If you don't, you can delay your healing process. This is a process. You know, we trust God with the outcome, but the process is ours. Oh, that's good. That'll preach. But that process is ours. No, I don't want. I'm just going to stay here on my crutches. Now, take a step. Take some small step. Identify your excuses and take a step. Let's stop trying to be ready and perfect and wait for that right time or that right month and do something. God's not looking for perfection. You need to know that. But he does say, what's in your hand? What do you got? I'll use that. Give it to me. Let me put my power on that. Let me do something supernatural with that. And as we all take a step, people get blessed. That's what we are. That's why we're here. We are God's rescue plan for the earth. And when we activate ourselves, people are blessed.
Hello, thank you so much for watching this video today. I pray this sermon has blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you. You know, we may never have met, I may not know you, but God knows you. And I want to tell you today, God loves you. That even before you knew about him, he loved you. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. You know, so many of us do life on our own, trying to lead our life in a way that finds answers and finds the peace and finds the joy we're looking for, but we come up short. But God knew that you needed rescuing, that you needed saving, that you needed his love. So he sent his son Jesus to come and pay the price for our mistakes. He lived a perfect life, but knowing we couldn't, he said, I will take their place. So he died and rose again so that his death could pay the penalty for my mistakes and my past, and his life could make a way so that I could have life. I believe that when you believe in what Jesus did and when you invite him to be Lord of your life, you can experience forgiveness, peace, hope, joy, purpose, and life like you've never known before. It's not about what we've done or who we're not. It's about that we have a God who's good, who can turn things for good, and loves you. He's a father, he's a friend, and you can invite him into your life today by simply saying this prayer after me. I'm gonna say this prayer, and wherever you are, wherever you're watching around the world, pray this prayer with me. Maybe you once knew God and you walked away. You know what? Maybe he's getting your attention today to say, come back into relationship with me. Maybe you've known religion, but never a real genuine relationship with God. Why don't you say this prayer too? And I believe this can be the beginning of a great new day. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for loving me and giving your life for me. I pray you forgive me for my past and you walk with me into my tomorrow. Let me know your grace, your forgiveness, your peace, your purpose, your joy, and your hope into my life. I ask you to lead me and guide me from this day forward. Be Lord of who I am. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer today. I believe that as you did, the peace, the grace, and the love of God comes into your life. you know what? The past is real, but it doesn't have to dictate your future. Let the love, the grace, and the word of God go with you from this day forward, and I believe the best days are ahead for you. If you prayed this prayer or you want to know more, maybe you're on the journey, why don't you flick us an email so we can send you some material about following Jesus. We can maybe connect you with a local church near you that you can do life with, get good people around you, and we would love to pray with you. I'm so glad you prayed that prayer. I'm so glad you're on the journey of following Jesus. I'm so glad you listened today. God bless.